Ladies and gentlemen, Football Scoop Podcast. Tuesday morning, I'm your host, Scott Roussel. I've got college football experts Doug Samuels, Zach Barnett. John Bryce was in Lambeau last night. We're not real sure where he is. I believe he's safe. No worries. John Bryce will be on with us Thursday. Until then, he'll be working behind the scenes. Gentlemen, it's week 12. I feel like we're going to do a quick reset here. I got a couple of stories we want to talk about, but also let's give a little update on our one bowl predictions. Everybody knows every season, right before kickoff, week one, we give our one bowl prediction, each of us. And this year, they were pretty bold. Well, from three of us. Ohio State and Texas kicked off college football week one, playing each other, basically number one versus number two. Game of the year, game of the century, Arch Manning, Julian Sand, Jeremiah Smith, unbelievable. And you two gentlemen on this show with me predicted that those two teams would not make the college football playoff, knowing that one of them had to win.
I feel like my prediction is dead on.
So Zach went with Texas is not going to make the college football playoff. They got what? They have two losses currently. They still have Georgia and A&M and somebody else, right?
Arkansas,
yeah. All right, Zach, they got two losses currently. They have to win all three of those to get in?
So I also predicted that they would lose to either Kentucky or Mississippi State. They won both games, but they won them both in overtime. So I feel like I deserve credit for that. The prevailing thought is that because they went to Ohio State, they volunteered to go to Ohio State and were competitive in that game, they were – The committee is going to give them as close to a mulligan as they can, considering hardly anyone else took on that challenge.
Yep.
And so because of that, the thought is they can go 2-1 and make the playoff. And my from here on out, my thought is maybe. And my thinking here is, even though A&M is the better team in the eyes of the committee, they're ranked higher, I think they're better off if you're going to go 2-1, winning this weekend at Georgia, and then assuming you beat Arkansas, and then losing to A&M rather than losing this weekend and then turning around and beating A&M. Because it's just it's if you beat Georgia this weekend, you're presumably 9-2 going into that final game. You're ranked 7-8, somewhere like that. Even if you lose at home to A&M, well, A&M at that point's likely undefeated. They're going to the SEC championship game. Should we really dock them that much? Let's move them down to 10. If you lose to Georgia this weekend, you're 8-3. You probably fall from – they're probably going to be number 10 tonight. You probably fall to 13, 14. And then are you going to move back in all the way – you're like a golfer on Sundays. Not only do you have to have a good round, you got to pass five people between you and the on the leaderboard. So my thought is not sure that single win, even if you're 9-3 with a win over an undefeated A&M team, oh, hopefully Oklahoma and Vanderbilt, for your sake, are top 10 teams. Even if you have three strong wins, I'm not sure that's enough to bump you over three other teams that are presumably winning on their final weekend as well.
Yes. In other words, you went bold, and yeah, you're right on it. Doug, you went extremely bold.
I did. I thought the Matt Patricia hire, I had questions at the beginning of the year. I could not be more wrong about that. He's proven to be everything, you know, they needed and more. Texas played as tough with them as anyone in the country has. I think that's by far their closest game. I think all their other games were decided by 18 points or less. The Illinois win was their other closest game. But, yeah, I was way off on that one, but they all are called bold predictions. It's not like picking the number three team in the country to win the national championship or something like that. You go big or you go home here at Football Scoop. So I took that to heart.
I agree. I feel like I went big. I went quarterback who had never thrown a pass in college football. It's going to lead his team to the national championship, not to the playoffs, the national championship. Notre Dame, Zach, educated me that they were going to lose their first two games. And I was like, that's okay. They're still going to win the national championship. So here I am. Kid's playing out of his mind. CJ Carr is on fire right now. Notre Dame's finding their footing. to get into the playoffs. Gonna put that bold crown on in late January. John Bryce picked Iowa to make the playoffs. I mean, I don't even know what to say about that. Iowa 6-3, something like that. I mean, they're making progress. They have a shot. I think they were around 20. They fought valiantly against Oregon. I mean, they were deep in it till the very, 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 very end. Oregon got them in Kinnick. Iowa still got shot, yeah? Yeah, kind of, maybe?
They had to win on Saturday. And yeah, I agree. They came very close.
Yeah.
Two things.
Yes.
Number one, to Scott's point, I enjoyed how the committee basically tossed out its criteria to rank Notre Dame at number 10 last Tuesday under the "we just think this team's really good" clause. They have them 8 spots above Miami, even though Miami beat them head-to-head. And they're like, yeah, when you watch the tape, there's this, there's that. They've got really good players. Our coaches really like them. We just ranked them number 10 because they're really good. And I can't disagree with that. At some point, I vote in the NFF Super 16 poll, and some weeks it's hard to get into 16, so I can't imagine going to 25. And it's impossible to have a consistent criteria from 1 to 25. So at some point, you just got to go to, I just think this team's better than this other team. So I respect that. And then the other thing, on Doug's bowl prediction, I think Ohio State might be in the beginning stages of building a Death Star. Winning the national championship last season, it's never been more difficult to win a national championship than it is now. Obviously, they're defending champions. The thought is, do we really know how good this Ohio State team is, because they haven't really played a difficult schedule since the Texas game? And that's a fair point. But my response to that is, like AI machine learning, they've spent the last 9 weeks testing, building, seeing what's good, so that when they get to Michigan game and beyond, they might just unleash holy hell on the rest of the sport. The defense is the best in college football. The offense hasn't really had to kick it into high gear. So if they're able to win this national championship, which, go with me here, next year they bring back Saiyan and Jeremiah Smith, and they're already proven they can reload better than anyone in this sport. They're going to start preseason number one next year. And they might just go wire to wire to wire. And the record for most consecutive weeks as the AP number one team is 33. I looked it up because I wondered how Ohio State's not close there. And they could, it wouldn't be surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if they pushed it. I mean, I think it's Ohio State's title to win or to lose this year and probably next year as well.
I think the challenge that Ryan Day is going to have there to build a Death Star dynasty or whatever you want to say is his ability to reload with coaches, coaching hires and replacing coordinators. Because people are going to come after Matt Patricia. NFL jobs will come calling. He could jump from a college DC role back into an NFL head coaching role. So in order for them to sustain that success, we have to put Ryan Day on the same level as a Nick Saban in terms of finding and hiring the right coordinators. And I'm not ready to do that. Will they be able to reload roster wise? Absolutely. But I wouldn't put Ryan Day in the same category as a Nick Saban as far as hiring and reloading staff. Like there's no one like Nick Saban in that realm.
I mean, I Ryan Day doesn't have the longevity to there, but they lost Jim Knowles and upgraded with Patricia. And Patricia came in, fell in line with the Ohio State culture, brought his own ideas, of course. But obviously, he didn't walk in and say, I'm former NFL head coach Matt Patricia doing you college kids a favor. He said, I'm Ohio State defensive coordinator, Matt Patricia. I'm here to do my job. And if Patricia moves on, they'll go get someone else who's really good as well.
Agreed. They will. And to Matt Patricia's credit, Jim Knowles has always taken 2-3 years to get his defense fully installed and rolling. And Matt Patricia did it week one in a huge game and have continued to roll ever since. So deserves a lot of credit for that.
And you might lose Hartline as well. So, you might be rebuilding both sides.
But hey, you want to come call plays for Julian Sain and Jeremiah Smith? That's a pretty easy sell out on the market. You got to go pick the right guy, but The line forms to the left.
Good stuff, gents. Good stuff. Ohio State still got Michigan, Indiana, you know, in the championship game, and then a heck of a road in the playoffs. It's going to be fun to watch. They are immensely talented, but Ohio State's always immensely talented. We'll see if they can pull it together. Yeah. Okay. Fascinating story this week on footballscoop.com. Doug, you might have to give us some setup here. This is a Mississippi high school, right? And you got Mississippi, like a lot of states, they separate classifications between public schools and private schools, sometimes called select, non-select, whatever you want to call it, right? So in this scenario, we're talking about within the private school classification, I think, and this might even be independent private schools. This is a thing. Doug, what you described to us on the website, the articles on footballscoop.com, is the most fascinating thing I've ever heard of. They play for a state championship, but in order to play for the state championship, you have to be one of the top four teams, right? And if you're not one of the top four teams, you play for a different championship?
You still play for a state championship. So the top four teams, top four independent private schools make up tier one, let's say, right? And then the next eight private school independent are a tier two, but they both compete for state championship rings, state championship crowns. That was a new deal rolled into this year where they reworked the independent private school system in Mississippi, from my understanding. So this is a brand new system. And Marshall head coach Chris Brunio decided, you know, they were 8-1 playing for a district championship against another team that I believe was 8-1 or 9-0. The winner would have been in that tier one bracket, which would top four teams would be very, very competitive, and felt like if they lost this game, they'd go be in tier two and get home field advantage and have an easier path to a state championship. And so
state championship.
Exactly. Yeah. So they sat 13 players. I think sat all of his starters at least. Got rolled in the first half. It was like 43-6 or something like that. And then came out in the second half. There's a running clock. He calls all of his timeouts on defense to stop the clock. Burns all of his timeouts with, I believe their opponent was Washington. Burned all the timeouts and then fielded the kickoff at the 5-yard line. Fair caught it, took it at the 5, and then took a number of delay of game penalties. Just refused to snap the ball, to the point where it was inside of the 1-yard line, still taking delay of game penalties. And the officials were like, listen, at this point, we're going to award them a safety. They line up for the free kick and then refuse to kick the ball off. They just flat out refused to play. So they took a couple more delay of game penalties, clock still rolling. And the officials finally called it with 2 minutes left and awarded the win the other way. And this team rolls into they're both rolling into the playoffs, I believe. Mississippi said you're not going to get home field, and banned and fined Coach Brunio from ever coaching an MAISD game again. So I know Zach has some thoughts, but that kind of lays it out.
So I read this and I was flabbergasted. And look, we could set aside the ethics of intentionally losing a game. Let's just set that aside. Okay. The execution of this plan absolutely blew my mind. This guy's obviously never watched a week 18 NFL game or a Washington Wizards basketball game. There's ways to lose games without outwardly trying to lose games. And then when you're already down 35 in the second half, you come out and just refuse to you're down 35. You're not going to win the game. Like, mission accomplished, and you come out and just refuse to even play. Now you're just rubbing everyone's faces in it. And the phrase that comes to mind, which I've heard, I've never participated in, I've just heard, is don't break the law while you're breaking the law. And he broke the law while he was breaking the law. Like, you gotta, I'd rather get fourth in the A bracket than first in the B bracket. But if that's not your decision, whatever. You got to try to lose the game 28-21. You don't go try to lose 64-0. And when you're already down 35 in the second half, just go play football. You're not going to win. That truly flabbergasted me. And he deserves everything he gets. Just again, setting the ethics aside, the execution deserves banishment.
Zach, you have two young sons that play football, and in summers we're doing 7-on-7 tournaments. And you just use the term an A bracket and a B bracket. Do you guys ever run into that where you have, okay, these teams advance to an A final, and then you got a B consolation type thing? If the team who wins the B thing, they're not called the tournament champions, right? What are they, like, they're not the state champions, right?
So we, with my youngest son, we've had this little 5-on-5 team that we do every so often, a couple times a year. And our problem is we just kind of get a bunch of local kids and go play. And we run into these teams that come in from Arizona and California and all this stuff that we can't compete with because they do this year round. We do it like 3 weeks a year. So typically we're good. We're just good enough to be that fourth seed in the A bracket. And then we go lose on Sunday, and that's that. And we kind of go in hoping to be the first seed in the B bracket because our kids are 9, 10 years old. They just want the ring. They don't really care. But when you're coaching high schoolers, they're old enough to know the difference between A and B. And also, we also go into these games knowing, you know what, we're going to try to win every game. And if we win and we make it in the A bracket, lose, so be it. But you're violating every spirit of the competition to try to lose games. If we go out, we're going to give it our best shot. If we lose, that's great. We'll go win the B bracket because we're not really one of these heavyweight travel teams to begin with anyway. But if we do so well on Saturday that we earn our way into the A, then that's our championship. That's our accomplishment as it is. Like, to try to lose games, the ethics of it are horrible. The execution was 10 levels beyond horrible.
Agreed. And not to put on the corny hat, but like preparing young men for life after football and all those type of things, like this guy is never going to be able to sit in front of a hiring committee ever again and talk about how that is a priority for him, because this is going to be out there on the interwebs forever. Like a simple Google search of the name, and you've ruined your chance of ever standing on a soapbox and talking about those type of things. So I agree with Zach. You deserve everything that comes your way. You've made your bed, you got to lay in it type deal. So don't feel sorry for the dude. It was, I read stories about, a second string dude that for Washington that got to go in, and, family drove 6 hours from Alabama to go watch him, and then they got there and watched him, and he literally just stood on the field as this team made a absolute mockery of the game. So there's just so many stories like that floating around. It was a fascinating thing to kind of dig into.
If you were on the opposing sideline and this is happening, what are you even telling your team, or what are you saying to the official who's standing right there? Like, what?
I would probably be equal parts angry and deliriously laughing because it's just the absurdity of it.
Yes.
And where he doesn't have one assistant coach to be like, hey, we're going way too far with this thing. You have one player. We're the seniors on this team. Like, coach, let's not do this.
Yeah, one leader to like speak up and say, coach, we're taking this a little bit too far. Can we just play football? Like, that's what we're here for. Can we just play ball? And it's a good, like, it's an 8-1 football team. It's a good football team. You don't
it
have
going to be in the top four bracket. Yeah.
Right. No words.
People, man. People. Gentlemen, that's an unusual Football Scoop podcast, but that's a Football Scoop podcast. With that, let's go make it a great week. JB, safe travels. See you on Thursday. Thank you.